If we have that audio, then we may be able to use some of it in our VR plan. But I think the key is going to be someone taking a lead and creating an initial story, right? Creating that initial version of the story, which can then be improved, because right now we really don't have a story. I think that's the problem. And what we have is a collection of thoughts and ideas, which don't make a story. So I think what's important for us to think about is what story is the most reasonable and consistent with all the ideas that we have discussed so far, right? So what do you think, I mean, given all the discussions we've had so far, what is your opinion on what this story should be?
I don't have a clear story in my mind yet, but we do seem to agree that the PM sync is a nice midpoint for both approaches, for the memory approach and the restart approach. So when we discuss in the new interface, we can propose that as the only interface.
Right, so, I mean, would your story then be something like, NVM is new technology and we need to reevaluate existing operating system interfaces, right, that have not been built using NVM technology in mind, right? So I'm using that as a starting point and saying, okay, well, if you have something.
Yeah, what about that? I remember Nisha was pitching an introduction story that was like, it has something to do with what are the needs of the applications and how operating system typically manage memory and storage. Then based on that, you combine these ideas and you propose this interface.
I remember she had a nice lead-in to the initial discussion, which I don't, unfortunately, I didn't write that down. Well, either we get the audio and we can extract it from that, or we have to wait for the next meeting, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to, you know, call another meeting until we have, let's say, something more concrete.
Yeah, that's probably better.
Yeah.
Even if it's not perfect, it's something to.
I think one aspect of what you're saying is, you know, what can we assume from the hardware standpoint? Hardware support for NVM. And have a position in the paper that, you know, hardware support, additional hardware support for NVM is not going to be drastic changes to the hardware. Maybe a couple of new instructions, but it won't be a complete change, for instance, of the memory management architecture and the hardware level, meaning that we would still have page tables versus something completely new. And that would imply that processes continue to access memory using the page abstraction, right? And processes continue to interact with OS as before, because that really doesn't get affected through system calls. And so the only question is, how first of all, how does the OS manage persistent memory? And second, how do the applications interact with the OS to use persistent memory? So I guess these are the questions that we should be able to answer in the paper.
So what we're presenting is basically, we're proposing this interface or this way of using this new technology under the assumption that there's not going to be dramatic changes in the architecture. We make this assumption because we think it's a realistic one. I mean, you could potentially speculate or theorize about if you have this different hardware, how this could improve, but a more realistic or pragmatic approach would be, let's make the assumption that this, we're going to use it as is,
mm-hmm.
and what can we do with this?
Yeah. So the other thought that I think was discussed was, you know, exporting NVM to the application as files, right? Similar to the file interface, but expecting that applications would use files not typically through the read-write system call, but by mapping portions of files into their address space and directly using or changing the contents of the file, right? So that, I think that's reasonable. But then internally, so what is the difference between what I'm saying and the BPFS in terms of internally to the operating system? You know, what does the file system need to do?
In your approach, you're allowing applications to manage the persistent memory directly.
Not really manage, but the operating system will manage the persistent memory. The application or process can make certain requests to the OS to either get access to persistent memory, allocate persistent memory, say, read and write to persistent memory directly, but first map through the OS, right? And the OS is the one which is, let's say, you know, keeping the mapping of file pages to persistent pages.
But isn't that the same way applications currently use memory?
It's pretty much the same way. You mean currently use files?
No, just memory, right? I request, I allocate memory, and the end becomes a system call in which some portion of your virtual address space is backed up with physical pages, right?
Yeah, exactly. And now the only difference would be, you know, your physical pages are persistent, right? So your page table has virtual to persistent pages, as well as virtual to volatile pages, depending on what you're mapping into your address space, right? And there would be a unified physical address space across both volatile memory and non-volatile memory. So your physical addresses are split across volatile and non-volatile. So in the page table, you have, you know, physical address that could either go to volatile memory or non-volatile memory.
Right.
Okay. So where does the file system fit in? So the file system, what does the file system do? The file system may support read-write, may support the read-write interface. But for that, there's already BPFS. So we can say that, but this paper is focused mostly on the NMAP interface to NVM.
Right.
There's nothing preventing the file system abstraction
from
supporting the read-write interface to files that get mapped to persistent regions of NVM, right? If you especially if you have a BPFS-like entity that's doing that.
I don't think that this design imposes any restriction as to how you use the memory.
Yeah.
I mean that it could coexist with regular file systems or regular block consumers.
I mean, how do you use files, right? That's really what you're saying. Because you could map a file to memory and directly read-write to it. And when you read-write to it, the key difference here is that whatever you're writing is immediately persistent. If you do not handle it in some special way, as opposed to the conventional writing of MMAP files where you're writing only to memory and eventually that write will be flushed to disk, right? So that's one difference. So maybe the paper could be about, well, first of all, why does accessing NVM as memory makes sense. Right? Why does it make sense as opposed to accessing NVM as files through the read-write interface? Right. I think that may be the first one of the first points to talk about, and then we justify this paper because there exists work on BPFS that already addresses the exporting NVM as as files using the file interface, but there is not any work at the OS level that would export NVM as memory to user level applications. Right? And what is the ideal interface and what should be the semantics of various map based interfaces look like? And maybe that's the story of the paper. Maybe the story of the paper is just discussing why the map interface to NVM is not trivial. It's not a trivial problem, right? And you need to pay more attention to that.
So you want to have the focus of discussion more into the memory approach to use this number than memory as opposed to file.
Yeah, because I think the files approach is already explored sufficiently in BPFS. All I'm saying is that I'm not saying we don't talk about files at all. In fact, we do, except to say that, well, files are accessed through map interface more commonly than they are accessed through read-write interface. Right? And what does it take to...
Is that true?
I think we can argue that if NVM contains files, then it is more efficient to use those files by mapping them to the address space and directly manipulating them than to perform read-write system calls to them. Because if you are able to map them to your address space, then you can store data structures in them directly and eliminate the need to serialize and deserialize.
I think you have to serialize and deserialize in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if the registry is linked, you have to serialize.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Remember, when you map persistent memory to your virtual address space, it's not guaranteed that it's going to be mapped in the same virtual region, virtual address.
Mm-hmm.
All pointers are going to be potentially broken.
Yeah, that's certainly true if you're not mapping to exactly the same place in the virtual address space.
Which is almost guaranteed by the randomization.
It is, except if you assume futuristic architectures where you have you have support, hardware support, let's say in the form of you know, some sort of segments where you could map an entire region to a segment. And as long as you have enough contiguous space in your virtual address space for a region, you could, you know, map several regions in your virtual address space and just use the segment register no, that's not right.
Do you think that would make some readers uncomfortable because of security issues?
Yeah, well, that's true. I'm just wondering what... No, that doesn't make sense. So mapping to the same portion of the address space, I think it's a prerequisite for something like this to work without, you know, manipulating pointers dynamically. And that would really be key. And maybe that's it. Maybe that's really what is missing, is the support for mapping to exactly the same portion of the address space. Or even if you don't map it to exactly the same portion of the address space, somehow create a virtualization layer that will allow you to use the same pointers as before.
That would be something very useful. So I can just allocate my data structures in this persistent memory, and I don't have to worry about pointers and things like that. It's there.
Okay, that's interesting. Every problem in computer science can be solved by a layer of indirection. Right? No, I'm not making this up. I mean, it's a very famous quote by Butler Lamson. Actually, no, not that guy. Another guy, some David something. So, can we solve this problem with a layer of indirection? And if so, what is that layer of indirection going to be? Maybe that's really the key missing piece for NVM. If we can crack that, then it's something which is worth, you know, writing about.
It probably deserves a full paper.
Maybe, but that could happen eventually. So let's think. So the CPU is generating an address, which is a virtual address. Now we are saying that this virtual address is not the same virtual address. What are we saying here? So when I dereference a pointer that I have in memory, right? That pointer points to a location in my virtual address space that may not exist, right? Because the contents of the destination may be mapped to a different portion of my address space in the current, you know, in the current instance of the application.
If you want to solve it with layer of indirection, the key problem is that the memory addresses that are certain pointers are absolute memory addresses.
Mm-hmm.
If you could have stored relative memory addresses, then you could solve the problem. But to do that, you have to know what's the pointer, right? You need to distinguish that these 8 bytes are a pointer. There is no easy way to know that. Unless you know that... I mean, the CPU does know that this 8 bytes is a pointer because it's treating those 8 bytes differently, right?
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of of a solution where we don't need to know, or where we don't need to differentiate between pointers and non-pointers. Right?
That would be better, definitely, yes.
Yeah. So the CPU generates an address. It could be a pointer dereference, or it may not be. It could be a constant address, right?
What if, I don't know if this makes any sense, but I'm just going to write it down, right? So suppose this is the virtual address space. And in this time, my physical pages, my physical region is mapped here. So this is the offset.
And it's all contiguous? The region is all contiguous?
The region is all contiguous. This is a very simple case, right? So if when this is mapped, I dedicate a portion of this to store this offset. Let's say that I store this offset. Then the problem is that at a different time, this could be remapped potentially here. And I have a different offset. So if I know, if I have this information stored here in my, as part of my persistent region metadata, would that be enough to do what I have to do?
You still need some runtime mechanism to do the addition or subtraction of the pointer address that is coming out.
We only care about pointers that are... there's no difference between pointers to different region of pointers to within the same region, right? All of them get broken because these are all absolute addresses. Something here would be pointing to my metadata, and this guy here will be pointing to whatever is here.
What if we have, let's say, something like a shadow page table? So if the OS can maintain a shadow page table,
wouldn't break if you're in a virtualized environment, right?
What?
It would not work if you're in a virtualized environment.
I don't know. Let's not think about the virtualized environment yet. And say you have a shadow page table that only the OS knows about, right? And the OS, when a region is created for the very first time and it gets mapped, right? The OS creates a shadow page table for just the region. So we have like per region shadow page tables. And the shadow page table is initialized the first time a region gets mapped, or a page within a region gets mapped. The shadow page table is equal to the page table the first time a mapping occurs. Okay. I don't know where this is going, but let me get started. So you have a page table, right? virtual address to a physical address. You have your conventional page table. So what happens is the CPU generates a virtual address. It goes through the page table and then you get a physical address. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's say that for every page of a region that is mapped from a region versus, you know, that's region is an NVM. I have a shadow page table of the following kind. Has a virtual address to a virtual address. Okay. And this virtual address, so this part
is the one that gets updated after every map.
No, this is the part that stays constant and it gets up initialized only when you map a page within a region for the very first time. Right? So before you start using a page within a region. So let's say that, you know, this is the first time you're using this virtual address one. You had some mapping, your memory space, you create a data structure in it, right? And so all the pointers of your data structures are relative to this version of the virtual address space.
Mm-hmm.
So original version of the virtual address space for, and it's page specific. Every time you map a page for the very first time, you initialize this part of the shadow page table.
Every time that you initialize it, that you map a persistent page.
Hmm. Okay. No, the very first time you map a persistent page for any region, you initialize this.
Okay.
So you create a region, and you map it.
So you're talking about the persistent pages. You have n of those. Once the I page has been mapped, that's the address that it's going to have as long as the OS is running.
As long as the region exists.
What do you mean by the region? Oh, well, the region could be deleted.
The region could be deleted, right? As long as the region exists, every page within a region has this original virtual address.
Okay.
That was mapped for the very first time that page within the region was ever used by any application.
Okay.
Right? So this thing also needs to be persistent. Along with the region, you have a region page table for that tells you the original virtual address for every page of the region.
Okay.
Okay. So when you, let's say, the next time you want to map a page of a region, like you ask the OS, map the specific page of a region to my address space, what the OS will do is map it to whatever portion of your address space is available.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So let me say, you know, this is my original virtual address, the new virtual address. So what the OS will return is the new virtual address, right?
Mm-hmm.
To the application. So the application will update. Let's say there's no update yet. Just give me a second. Hello? Oh, I'm in a meeting, but I'll be done soon. Let me call you. Yeah? Bye. So the CPU, so the problem now is that when you do the mapping, right, what you're getting is a page is in the new virtual address, right?
Mm-hmm.
The CPU can generate a reference to this page but using the old virtual address. So what's coming from the CPU is virtual address old. Does this make sense?
Because the application is still... Why are you referring to... Why are you using the old address and not the new one? Because the application only knew about the old address?
Yeah, because the pointers that are contained in the persistent pages are to the old address.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Right?
Right.
So the virtual address that I'm getting from the CPU is an old virtual address. I need to convert this old virtual address to a new virtual address, right? Through some sort of translation mechanism. Ideally, that should be oblivious to the application, right? Transparent to the application. So if I'm getting VA0 and I need to convert it to VAN, I guess I can use this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the problem here is that, how do I know is the virtual address O, the original virtual address for the persistent page versus, virtual address with the same value for new data? Could even be volatile. I think that's the...
So, we're considering still pointer, right? Is the pointer from persistent to volatile, and whatever was in that volatile memory is gone now.
Yeah. See, the real problem occurs if this old virtual address is reused for some, let's say, for some volatile data.
Right.
So I don't know if the virtual address, the old virtual address, refers to the new data or which is volatile or the actual persistent data.
Is it safe to assume that as long as the region exists, you consider that an old address of the persistent memory?
It may not be because let's say malloc uses this old virtual address and gives you some memory. You may want to refer to that memory as well, right? Besides this persistent page. So if the CPU generates a virtual address O, how do I distinguish between, something that was mapped recently versus something that was mapped quite a while ago to the same address as what you mapped recently to? Right? That's the real issue here.
Would it be helpful to go over how hypervisors use shallow page tables?
So what the hypervisors do is to, the guests manage their own page table, but that's not the real machine page table, right? The hypervisors do is that the guest page table maps from virtual address to physical address, okay? Whereas the shadow page table maps from physical address to machine address.
But this physical is virtual memory.
Physical is virtually is not really physical. It's virtualized physical memory. It's physical memory of the virtual machine as opposed to physical memory of the physical machine. Right, which is why they have another layer called machine address, which is the physical address in the physical memory of the machine.
So why? But unlike a hypervisor, here you are. So the persistent memory is when there's map, it belongs to the process, right? So when there's a context switch, it should not be there.
Yeah. Not that I'm thinking. Because So an anonymous nmap versus a persistent, volatile nmap versus a persistent nmap. I think the operating system needs to be able to carefully manage that. It's tricky. This needs more. But do you see do you understand the problem, right? That you're getting these old virtual addresses or virtual addresses relevant to the old mapping, and can we somehow maybe separate out the volatile memory from the physical memory? Because you know the reason you may get a reference to the old virtual address, but for you know not related to persistent memory at all, is because the operating system gave to the application some memory map to that address.
Right.
If the operating system did not give to the process any of that address, then the process would never generate a VAF0 that doesn't mean anything except you know, a reference to the persistent page that was originally at VA0.
But the operating system knows that the memory map there is volatile and persistent. After all,
yeah,
it was the one who mapped the memory.
Yeah, but the problem is that although it knows that, it doesn't know the specific reference that is coming. Is it to the volatile memory that just got mapped or a persistent page that got mapped at some point in the past? That the operating system doesn't know.
It would be easier if you had specialized in loads and store instructions, right? For persistent memory. If that were the case, then you could distinguish a load or store.
That's a significant architectural change, which I think is hard to expect, at least in the 3-year time frame, or even 10-year, I don't know. Because NVM is not in wide use yet, and it's not even commodity product. So even for NVM to show up in the marketplace, it's going to take a while. And whether the machine's hardware support for NVM exists right away or not, I don't think hardware support will come before the technology itself.
The virtual address space, it's usually much bigger than
2 to the 56.
The physical memory, so it's much bigger, right?
Yeah.
So
physical volatile or physical persistent?
Actually, physical volatile.
Physical volatile, yes.
Right. Okay. So what is the drawback of reserving a portion of this virtual address space to volatile, to non-volatile memory, to persistent memory? And always mapping it the same way the kernel memory is always mapped for the, or in a similar way.
The issue is that, let's say you have lots and lots of regions, and the total, so on your disk, which is, you know, exabyte in size in the future, it's full of regions, right? And you have, only fixed size amount in your virtual address space that cannot map all the existing regions in the world at once into your virtual address space. Right? You may get a region from your friend, right? It's like you can get a file from your friend today. You may get a region from your friend in the future that you would want to map into your application.
So what about this? What if you don't map all the pages of your persistent page, but just a portion of it, and then do some swapping on demand?
Actually, it would not even need swapping. It's just flipping of the page table bit, the page table entry, right? Actually, that's a good point. It's not clear though when you would need to
swap. It would be a both. You don't really know, because when you're accessing in memory, you don't have information about this region idea,
yeah.
Right? It's just,
yeah.
If I want to go to this memory address.
Yeah.
So... So it would potentially reduce the amount of persistent memory that can be used by a process.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way to fix that?
So if the guy with the quote about a little layer of indirection is right, then this problem should have a solution by adding a layer of indirection. Maybe there are two layers of indirection required.
So what we need to do is break the problem into two smaller problems.
Okay, let's do the following. Let's think about it offline. At least we have some framework for thinking, right? And maybe this is the right direction, maybe it's not, but I think it's worth spending more time thinking along these lines in terms of, you know, dynamically manipulating page level mappings for persistent memory and using, you know, some additional information about original locations of pages when they got mapped for the very first time. Maybe there is something in that direction that we can think more about. And I think it's worth giving some more time to thinking about this. And if we are able to solve this problem, then that could be the focus point of the paper, or the focus of the paper. All right, so, okay, where do we go from here next? I think we need to meet again. Maybe... Maybe tomorrow afternoon. I don't know. Actually, I'm not sure if I have a doctor's appointment, actually. Let me see.